I know next weekend is Memorial Day, when we remember all our fallen heroes, but this really fits in well with what the Lord is speaking in my heart for right now. So I borrowed this off of Darren's Facebook page, actually put that picture up. This is a U.S. Marine Corporal Dakota Meyer, deployed to Fallujah, Iraq in 2007 as a scout sniper. In 2009, during his second tour, he arrived in Kunar Province, Afghanistan, during a mission to search and clear the village of Ganagal. Two platoons of Marines were ambushed by 50 insurgents firing machine guns, rocket-propelled grenades, and sniper fire. After hearing over the radio that three Marines and a Navy corpsman had been killed by a group of the insurgents, Corporal Meyer and another Marine approached the village under fire and killed several Taliban with an M240 machine gun mounted on the Humvee. Despite a shrapnel wound to his arm, Meyer made five incursions into the kill zone and retrieved the bodies of four Marines and several others who were wounded. He ultimately left the Humvee and searched the village on foot for survivors. For his actions, he was awarded the Medal of Honor for Valor. He's the second youngest living recipient and the first living Marine in 38 years to receive the Medal of Honor. You know, as I read this, well, even before I read this, there's this thing resonating in my heart. And I said it like this to my boys in the car. I said, boys, there's two types of people in this world. There's people when times get tough that run away, and there's people who run in. Corporal Meyer was one of those guys who ran in. And this morning I want to look at the story of Ziklag. And I want to say to our hearts, this might take 15 minutes, it's not going to take long. I want to say to our hearts, remember Ziklag. Okay, remember Ziklag. That's the title of this message this morning, because God's calling you right now to run into something. Even when natural circumstances make it feel like I want to run away, I want to hide, I want to get under my bed, so to speak, spiritually, God's saying now's the time actually to advance. There you go. It's a time to move forward. It's a time to not hide from the fight, but dive in. How many remember the tragedy at UNC Charlotte a couple of weeks ago? You know, that young man from Waynesville, I'm sure it's a scary time. Only by the grace of God does that kind of courage to say, I've got my shot, I'm going to take him down. He gave his life, but by the accounts that I've read, he got the guy to the ground to where law enforcement could take care of it, save countless other lives. I'm not talking about the physical acts of violence. I'm talking about spiritually right now. Is now's a time to move forward. Now's a time to dive in. It's not a time to shrink back. Sometimes it's not time to stay at home, but to run into the fight. Remember Ziklag. Remember Ziklag. Turn to 1 Samuel 30 with me. Or click there. I think we got it up on the screen. But let me catch you up to speed where we're at in this story with King David. Remember, King Saul had been anointed his predecessor, the first king of Israel. And despite being a spiritual dad to David and loving David, an evil spirit through his choices had come upon him, and he actually was hunting David down. He tried to kill him on multiple occasions. It's such a bipolar disorder example, because in one moment he's weeping like, my son, David. And the next minute he's taking his spear and trying to pin him to the wall with it. And, you know, he's hunting him out through the wilderness. You know the story. If you're not familiar, go back and read through 1 Samuel. You'll get a clear picture. But at this point, it's also wild because David had 400 like kind of riffraff of the culture join him. They were like ex-cons, you know, debtor prisoners, people who had committed sort of violent acts and sort of were on the out in society, but yet were able to come find David and join him. And so we know them as David's 400 mighty men. They happen to be renowned warriors. They happen to be guys who would like climb into snowy pits with lions and tear them apart. And, you know, all this, it just feels like the movie 300 or something. You know, it's just, you read about these things and it's incomprehensible. But I will note this. We know David to be the giant killer, right? Goliath. But you know what a giant killer breeds? It breeds other giant killers. If you read the end of the story, then David and his nephew and then three other guys, they actually went and killed multiple giants. So you see, that's what you are here this morning. Your spiritual ancestors have been giant killers, but your giant killers times 10. You're multi-giant killers. And that's the season that we're in right now. Sometimes giants face us, but the Spirit of God from the heritages of our ancestors, we stand on their shoulders and we go in. Like David, we don't retreat when the giant is spewing his hatred and his viral speech. You know, we press into that and say, no. Bless God. No. There's something bigger. The God of Israel is bigger than this. And before we get to this text, though, what's important to understand is, so you remember Goliath that David killed? He was a Philistine, right? It had gotten so bad for David and his 400, it's now 600 men. It had gotten so bad for them that they actually left not the safety of Israel because they were being hunted. They left and they went and joined the Philistines. Can you imagine that? They went and hid out in a town that the king of the Philistines at the time gave them to reside in called Ziklag, right? So they're in Ziklag. I just can't even fathom this. Like, why would you go join the enemy? They're kind of pretending to be their allies, even though David knew in his heart he wasn't really joining them. He was just trying to find this place of safety. So they go there, and while they're in Ziklag, they kind of raid the Amalekites, some other enemies, and all this stuff is happening. And then one day, they arrive back to Ziklag after one of their excursions. And this is where we pick up in the story. It says that 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off their women and children, their families, everyone else, but without killing anyone. And when David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept. They wept. I couldn't imagine coming home and finding my baby girls and my wife and my boys, like, just gone. Like, I can't imagine the deep sorrow, the deep weeping. They wept until they could weep no more. David's wives, and Nahum and Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. And David was now in great danger. Because guess what? It goes from bad to worse. Because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters and began to talk of stoning him. Now, how many know that's a bad day? Yeah. I mean, that's not just a bad day. That's turning into a bad week, a bad month, particularly a bad 6 months. When your family's gone, your king, who is your spiritual father, is trying to kill you, your wife and kids are gone. You know, now your men, the guys who held you in such high esteem, who joined you, who went to war with you, are now saying, I don't know about Dave. Maybe we should just kill him too. It just reminds me sometimes of spiritually the places that we find ourselves in. You know, I don't know. Did anybody have kind of a rough week? I had sort of a rough week. Now, the weird thing about it is, on a spiritual plane, I had one of the best weeks I've had in a long time. I mean, the honey of the word was dripping. There's a verse about that. I just felt the written word was so alive to me. God was stirring up so much vision in my heart. But at the same time, Sarah and the girls caught this nasty virus, probably from school, and were at home just all week long. You know, and so, you know how it is, dads. When these things happen, there's just kind of the upheaval in the house, and you're just trying to keep it together and get everybody to where they need to be, and, you know, that sort of thing. So it was a challenging week. And then there's those, anybody know what fatigue is like? If you don't know what fatigue or sleeplessness is like, just ask Tevitris, you know, and his lovely wife at home trying to have a new baby in the house. So fatigue's a killer, right? It's a spiritual killer. It tries to come and, you know, the sleeplessness and it's just a rough time. And, you know, these little thoughts, they try to come. One of my pastors said, never make a big decision when you're tired, right? Or when you're in those times of transition. And so David was now in great danger because all his men were bitter about losing their sons and daughters. So here's what I feel like this morning. Not only is it time to run in, but how are we going to do that? But David found what? He found strength in the Lord his God. Now, this wasn't just like a pep talk. He didn't just like watch a good YouTube video. You know, he didn't put on Bethel music per se or whatever it is. I mean, he made Bethel music. Like he probably wrote some music, but I don't think it was anything external for David. There was something supernatural. There's something supernatural that's going to happen. I got this little vial of oil. You've seen it before in my pocket that Tracy brought me. And it's supernatural. And, you know, as wild as this sounds in the natural, there's this church down in South Carolina that has this Bible where this oil is like replenishing and dripping from the Bible. And 2 weeks ago in Mooresville in our mother church, I talked to Becky yesterday, and she said, because Byron had told me that 2 weeks ago, he had preached a simple message on a love for the Word of God. And he said it was this, the wildest thing. After I was done, like 85% of the church didn't just walk, but ran to the front to get prayer, like just this hunger for the Word of God. And then whenever, so he got with all these people, a couple hundred people, he got Becky and Luis Sosa to help him pray. And he said, Matthew, their hands were dripping with oil. I'm like, what? I got to find out about this. So I texted Becky. I was like, what exactly happened here? You know, were you there? Were you there? Okay. I was trying to find an eyewitness in the room. What exactly happened here? So she called me yesterday and she goes, here's what happened. I had this little vial of oil, probably something like this. It was holding it in my left hand. I was dabbing it onto my right hand. And then I was just praying for people. And she said, after a while, I just noticed that people's heads were really, really oily. Oh, wow. Like really oily. And she's like, that is really strange because I wasn't putting that much oil on there. And she said, then I just looked at my hand and it was just dripping with oil. And other people's hands were just dripping with oil. And I thought, well, that's a sign that'll make you wonder. You know, that's just something supernatural. In fact, I'm hard-pressed to even know why God does those sorts of things. Like, why does that happen? I'm sure there's probably lots of reasons. But what I want you to see this morning in the text is that when David found strength in the Lord, it wasn't like he worked out extra, right? Of course, it's a supernatural strength. And for what we're facing right now, we need supernatural strength. So we're going to pray this morning for supernatural strength and health and life to come upon us. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Does anybody join me with that? I'm just sick and tired. I mean, I got so many calls and texts this week about people, and a lot of them aren't here this morning, who are just going through it, sick and tired, you know? It's like, that's not right. Mm-mm, no. I'm not going to put up with that. Are you? I'm not putting up with that. See, neither did David. So he found strength in the Lord. And then this is beautiful. Actually, before I read the rest of this text, let me tell you a psalm in his journal, a journal entry. He said, this is Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you, Lord? And there's none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail. You know what that feels like. Man, I'm tired. Man, I don't feel like any real super excited about stuff in my heart. But God is the strength in my heart. Everybody say, but God.
But God.
But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Yeah. He is our portion. Yeah. He is our oil. This is just a symbol. This is a sign of the supernatural strength that he's going to endue us with today. It reminded me, too, of Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3. You remember that one? Where he speaks of this strength, a supernatural strength. The writer, the translator of the Passion Bible says it really, really well, of course. Ephesians 3:16. And I pray that he would unveil within you, there it is, the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until what? Supernatural strength.
Yeah.
Supernatural. It's supernatural. It's beyond the natural. I mean, sometimes it just doesn't make sense. It really doesn't, and it's not supposed to. It doesn't make sense for something beyond the natural realm to happen. The supernatural strength floods. Here's what's coming. Your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Tracy's getting it. Explosive power. This is crazy. This is silly. I know, but I want more of it. This doesn't make sense, but Jesus, you're so worthy.
Yeah.
We love you, Jesus. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. Isn't that good? How is it? By constantly using your faith. It's actually not your faith, it's his. It's Galatians 2:20 faith, the faith of Christ.
Yeah.
It's his faith, but you're using his faith. You get to borrow his. And the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. This was David's secret. Because David, like last time, he found a safe place. That acronym. You remember that acronym? He found a safe place. He found a God who was S, his shield and his song. He found a God, a father who answered his cries for help. And he found F, the God that brings freedom from fear.
Amen.
Because E, he's a God who empathizes with you in every way. I know it's silly acronyms and everything. I don't know what you think about that. It helps me because I remember it. I've been clinging to that for 3 weeks now. I just, on a like couple times a day, I'll think back through that. My God is my shield and my song. He's a father who answers my cry. He brings freedom from my fear because he empathizes with my situations in every way. This is the secret, y'all. This is the secret that David found. Remember Absalom's story from a few weeks ago? And in this case, he's here in Ziklag. He found a safe place every time. And that's how he didn't get bitter. That's how he didn't blame anyone. That's how he kept going even when his children turned on him. His spiritual dad wanted to kill him. I mean, you know, it's just, how did this guy become a man after God's own heart? Because he realized that his father is a safe place. Let me get back to the text. I think we're in somewhere around verse 8. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, or however you say that guy's name, Abiathar the priest. Go back to that, Jeremy. I think we're about verse 8, somewhere in there. You see that? Bring me the ephod. Come on, everybody say, bring me the ephod. What does that stand for? I need a word. Anybody ever felt that way? Oh man, I don't know what's going on, God, but just give me a word. Say the word, my servant will be healed, right? That guy in the New Testament. I need a word, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought it, and then David did what? This is A in safe. He asked the Lord. You know what? Here's the thing I found wild even about myself. In difficult circumstances, oftentimes I go a distance through it and then I drop back and be like, well, have you asked God about that? As silly as that seems, because you think that's number one, like, okay, like for on top of all the sickness, then the car breaks down this week, right? You know those weeks where it's just like, hello, have you asked God? What's God saying? Here's the crazy thing. I found that Jesus likes to talk to me. Wow, what a concept. You know, what a crazy concept. I actually started early in the morning before anybody's up. We've got these two little chairs, you know, in our little office area. So one chair is empty. Guess who's sitting there? Jesus. Have you ever done that? Try, instead of real intense times of prayer and intercession, like, oh, Rabbas, you know, try, hey, Jesus, what's going on? Hey, well, what about my car? I mean, how do you feel about it? I mean, what should I do? Or just try talking to him like your best friend sitting there and listen. Listen in your heart with what Jesus is saying. This has been the secret for the spiritual renewal in my heart this week in the middle of storms. And they're fairly mild storms compared to other storms people are going through right now. But I don't care, big or small storm, Jesus is in the storm. He's always right there. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, can we even preach and say that enough? Like, that's an amazing truth, that we have a God who empathizes, E, and safe. That means he's there. He's the fourth man in the fire, so to speak, right? He's the God of the angel. He's the general of the angel armies. On all of those things, he's all those qualities and characteristics. So David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? That's a really good question. And here's the thing I love about Dave is he never presumed. The other kings and judges and leaders, they would always like, well, of course you should chase the stupid bandits. Like, they took your people, go get them. Like, they're just going, period. So that seems like a dumb question to me. Your wife and your kids are gone. Why are you asking? Go get them. Like, be the man, you know? No. Every word, he needed every word from heaven. Because maybe God would say yes, but not yet. Maybe he would say yes, but not the same way you did last time. Maybe he would say no, because I'm going to bring them back in another way. You know, whatever it is. So he asked God, will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. So David and his 600 men now set out, and they came to the brook of Besor. But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David continued the pursuit with the 400 men. There's more to the story. That's where I'm going to leave off for now. But the strength of heaven, a supernatural strength, they got everybody back. Nobody's harmed. It was a miracle. It's time to run in to the strength and power of the Lord. This is a subjective statement. In other words, what is it for you that God's calling you in your heart right now to run into? What about your call and your destiny is God saying, boop, green light, go. Green means go. It's not red, it's not yellow, it's green. Like, press forward, move into something, take territory. I feel like we're rapidly moving from spring to summertime. Like, spring is the time to dream with God. These new things. Summer's time to co-labor with Christ. and see Jesus get the reward. It's time to move forward and take some things. For me, and I think it's safe to say for us, I don't want to forget his benefits. I don't want to forget all the things that he's done for us. Remember Psalm 103 comes to mind. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Right? Well, what are his benefits? Actually, I have it on the screen in the New Living Translation. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Put up Psalm 103 there. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins. Hello. And does what? Heals all my diseases. Heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. We're getting ready to pray for the sick. Everybody here and the people that aren't here, enough's enough. Like, allergies have to go from Janet's body. You know, all the stuff that the Nicholsons have been dealing with has to go. The cleansing stream has to come through David Ransaha. Like, the power of heaven is going to fall in our midst and in this city. And we need a fresh fire and a fresh anointing. In other words, we need something. Here's what I'm praying for. We need something supernatural. We can't do it. There's no, like, magic potion. You know, there's no formula. There's none of that. There's just Jesus. There's just relationship. And Jesus is saying, yeah. I'm like, Jesus, would you like to heal people? I'm talking to the chair, you know, Dan. I'm like talking to the chair. He's like, yeah, I'd like to heal people. Would you? I'm like, yeah, Lord. All right, well, what are you waiting for? Okay. That seems so trite. Like, okay, Jesus, let's go. Let's lay our greasy hands on the sick and see them recover. I felt this thing from my history teaching past about 100 years ago. In fact, last year in 2018, we celebrated the end of the Great War. You may remember it as World War I, but the name of the war was actually the Great War. It was until after World War II that they started naming them World War I and then World War II, because there were a couple of them. But in the Great War, we were trying to stay at home, we as in the United States. This is a European problem. We did this in both wars, actually. But this is a European problem. Y'all fight it out. Have at it. It was, you know, we tried to stay out of it until a few major events happened. And one of them became sort of a battle cry called Remember the Lusitania. Okay. The Lusitania was a British luxury liner that the German U-boats sunk that had, I think, 53 Americans on board of this. It wasn't a military vessel. Some claim that it was carrying munitions. That's debatable. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But it was filled with civilians, in other words. And under their policy of unrestricted submarine warfare, they hit it with torpedoes, destroyed everybody. A bunch of Americans were killed. On top of that, then, the German foreign secretary to Mexico sent a telegram. His name was Arthur Zimmerman. He sent a telegram to Mexico and said, hey, if you guys will join against us if the U.S. gets involved in the war, if you'll join the Central Powers and help us whip the Americans, then we'll give back to you the territory of Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona that you lost in the Spanish-American War. And so that telegram was intercepted by our spy agencies and printed in the New York Times. Can you imagine the fervor? That's what got us into the war. It was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. And like, all right, now it's time for the doughboys to go. In other words, the Ziklag moment, it's no longer time to stay at home. Guess what, boys? Pack your bags. We're going to Europe. We've got to break the stalemate. Hear what the Spirit's saying. We got to break the stalemate. There was a stalemate going on. Millions were dying. I mean, Russia lost like a third of its male population. Can you imagine that? Like gone in this terrible, terrible bloodbath that we know as World War I. Somebody's got to do something from the word of the Lord to bring it back spiritual context. David's strengthened in the Lord, said, we've got to rise up. We've got to take back what's ours. Now, I know some people like to put that in a natural context. That's not my focus this morning. My focus is spiritually, what's God saying to you? Like, what territory has been ravaged? Like, no, that's not right. I'm going to put a demand on that seed that the Lord has planted. I'm taking that back. Like, in a couple of weeks, I recognize the 10th anniversary of my best friend Matt Stewart being brutally murdered in his home while he slept with his wife and kids. 10 years it's been on June the 9th. It's like when I think about my friend's memory, I think, no, that's not right. I would never pray or wish for that kind of trial and tribulation. But since it happened, the Bible says I can put a demand on that seed. And the demand on that seed is a life planted becomes the glory of Christ arisen. Amen. That thing is going to rise up. And God said that when you go down to Chapel Hill, all of heaven's going to break loose. I'm just kind of paraphrasing some words he gave me through that dark season. All of heaven's going to break loose. I'm like, Lord, I want to see heaven break loose in Chapel Hill. He said, we'll go in that strength of yours. Rise up in that might of yours. David's poetic song as he stood before his giant Goliath. When everyone else was running away, he said this in Psalm 144, first in the New Living Translation. Praise the Lord who is my rock. He trains my hand for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. Who does that? God does. It's a grace thing. So when I talk like you gotta or we need to, listen, I'm not talking about in our strength. I'm talking about in his. I'm saying, what's he saying to you? If he's not saying anything, then don't do it. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm the last one who wants to run into some battle that God's saying, don't go into that battle. That's not where you're supposed to be. Maybe that's a word for somebody. You know, get out of that, retreat from that, and go somewhere, advance in a different direction. He gives me strength for battle. He's my shelter of love and my fortress of faith, who wraps himself around me as a secure shield. I hide myself in this one who subdues enemies before me. Oh, I just read the Passion Translation. Yeah, it gives my fingers skill for battle. He's my loving ally and my fortress in this translation. My tower of safety, my rescuer. He is my shield. I take refuge in him. He makes the nations submit to me. Again, our God is safe. He has been breaking the trauma off of us. How many people have experienced that? God's just, he's cleaning us up, so to speak. We're the fish right now. He's cleaning the fish. He's breaking off the trauma. He's breaking off a beautiful time of prayer last week. Thank you, Tracy, for bringing that. He's breaking things off of us because he has things for us, right? It's not to harm us. It's for us. He doesn't hide his mysteries and his secrets from us. He hides them for us. It's a beautiful thing that he's doing, even though it might be painful. You know, we even had in our home on Friday night an example of this. Like, it might be painful, but God is doing something. I believe even supernatural health will be released to us as these traumas and these pains and these memories and these things are being broken off. He's a safe place. Now, before we pray, and I want to invite Evan to come back up here and the musicians. Next week, I feel like is a really critical time. Please be here if you can. I want to talk about the flow of the Holy Spirit in our body and how we operate together, okay? I want to hear from each person, even this summer season, of What are the gifts and calls? What are the dreams? What are the things that God's burned in you? And how does that fit corporately? Like, how do we all run together in that? Does that make sense? Because if the foot's going and the hand's out here and they have no idea what each other are doing, there's limited effectiveness. The foot can be effective, the hand can be effective, but they're most effective when they're together. That's the analogy the Bible gives us in 1 Corinthians 13, right? And in Romans, of the body. So I want to talk about the flow of the body next week, but just to give you a little taste of the things I've been dreaming about, is this summer I'm going to start a new life link called The Adventures of the 70. Okay, The Adventures of the 70. And what the 70 is, it's not that it has to be 70 people, but the 70 were those people in Luke 10 that Jesus sent out after the 12 went out. Raise your hand if you remember what I'm talking about, so I know I'm preaching to the choir. Okay, so he sent the 12 out. They did all the stuff that he did. And then he sent 70 others out. And they did the same thing. As you go, heal the sick. And so I'm just laying on my bed one night. The puppy woke me up at 4. And then God started speaking. So I'd like to say God woke me up, but really it was the puppy. Through God, you know, whatever. Okay, so God's speaking to me. I'm just laying awake for 2 hours until 6 a.m. with this painfully sweet time. Painful because I wanted to go back to sleep, if you know what I'm talking about. Beautiful and sweet because the Lord was talking to me. And I just started seeing these things of like, train up a small group of people, like in signs and wonders, and praying for the sick, and casting out demons, and go out there, go to the street, and see what the Lord wants to do, you know? So I'm going to do this thing this summer. If you're interested in joining that or finding out more, text me or email me or talk to me, because I want to know who you are. But this may not be your piece. Maybe your piece is something else completely different. That's wonderful and beautiful. But we need each other. You know what I'm saying? We need that thing running. But before we got to get through Ziklag. We got to get that stuff broken off. Like, God's bringing us through this beautiful, wonderful, painful cleansing part in order to bring us into those destinies. Amen? All right. Yeah, come on.
You know, I was just feeling this morning, I felt like the Lord reminded me, because sometimes, you know, well, I mean, we've been sick this week. It's been a really long time since I've been that sick. And you can just downright feel really discouraged when you don't feel good. But the Lord just reminded me this morning that if you are in a place of, sometimes we get in those places where we just feel like we have to figure it all out. You know, if you have a problem or you have things, you have to figure it out. You know, or you have to figure out what's the thing, and just you get caught in this, like, and it can get kind of wear you out to try to mentally figure it all out. And it was like the Lord was saying to me this morning, with even what he was sharing, there is a secret, and the secret is Jesus.
Yeah.
His name is Jesus. And if you feel like you're at that place where you haven't even really, your relationship with him, you don't know that thing that Matthew's talking about being able to sit down and really talk to him, or you just really need that place with Jesus renewed, because I'm telling you, that's who you need.
Yeah.
Is Jesus. That's who we all need. I felt like the Lord told me this morning, reminded me of all the basic things, but it was with real fresh revelation. And it was like the Lord was saying to me, keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
And I want to show you those things. And then through that, I'll give you breakthrough. I'll give you that strengthening. I'll do things, and there will come wisdom. But let's don't get it backwards. Let's don't get it to where we're trying to figure it all out to get to Jesus. To get some kind of big breakthrough. To get to this place where we feel what somebody else. It all starts with him. Just the way we are. Sick, not sick. You know, broken. In the middle of feeling that trauma, not feeling that trauma, any of that. So I really, I just feel like the Lord wants to refresh us this morning as we surrender to Him afresh. Yeah. As we say, Lord, we want to be strengthened in You, but we realize that it all starts with You.
Yeah.
And we want to know what that next thing is so that we can pursue it. But it all starts with You, Jesus, in that place of relationship with You. It's not about what we can do. It's not about how good we can be, how all on our own, like that strength Matthew's talking about. That strength, that's trying to do it on our own. That's trying to figure it out on our own. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you have felt in that place where it's like, I don't know what to do. I can't get myself out of this place. Well, it's okay. Jesus is in the room with you, and He wants to just renew that place of relationship with you and Him, where you do hear His voice. And you do. It's by believing, Lord, You are who You say. I'm a son, I'm a daughter, first and foremost.
That's good.